Damn.
Go for it. All right, so hi, I'm Jessica. I'm the founder of Seattle Free School. I don't have a lot of showy or blingy things to bring to you, and the primary reason for that is Seattle Free School runs without money. In general, we don't take any cash donations of any kind from anybody ever. I can't exactly say that we don't use money because I do pay $10 a year for website registration, but that's about it. And of course, you know, putting gas in my car to drive someplace, but that would probably happen anyway. So short of that 10 bucks, we really don't spend much money on anything. Everything that we've received, we've got for free. We have a free, I've had a website designed for us for free. We have free hosting of our website from a friend of mine who lives in France that I met in Second Life, who I've never met in real life. just sort of crazy little things like that. Lime here has been putting out flyers for us, and that's sort of how we spread the word in the real world about what we do, is just ask people, send out emails with flyers and ask people to put them up. We spend a lot of time in the very beginning driving around to neighborhoods or going to neighborhoods or biking to neighborhoods or whatever, and then trying to flyer neighborhoods that weren't our own and having no idea where to put flyers or where people would see them. We realized this is stupid. We have people all over the place that know about us and will print out a flyer and put it up. And so that's our marketing department. And so to get more into what Seattle Free School does, it's essentially the same idea as like the Experimental College or Discover U or whatever. It's free education, free classes, free learning on pretty much anything that anybody would want to teach. People are like, well, what about, we've never had anybody try to offer a class that we wouldn't have taken. We've always kind of said, you know, being a Nazi is not going to be a Seattle Free School class, but nobody's actually ever offered that either, so it hasn't been anything that we've needed to worry about. In general, that those people don't want to teach, I guess. So we really like classes on just about anything. When we first got started, it was mainly me teaching. And most of what I know, at least in terms of being able to convey it to other people, has been stuff that's very homesteady, like keeping chickens in the city, keeping bees in the city, making soap, making cheese. And for a very long time, people kind of thought that that's what Seattle Free School was homestead stuff. And that's definitely not the case. That's definitely not what we wanted to be. It's just that's what I knew how to teach. That's part of the reason that I'm here, is to tell you folks about it, to see if you guys are interested. I think that the partnership between Jigsaw and Seattle Free School could actually be very beneficial. Willow and I were just talking about the idea of bringing kind of more crafty type stuff, which we've got a lot of people who do that, into your space. And we are definitely interested in bringing kind of the more brainiac, fun, crazy stuff into our space so people really get that we're not just about keeping chickens. And it was kind of funny, actually, the reason that I heard of you guys. My friend was talking about her Haiti organization on KUOW after you guys had been on right after that. And so I caught the end of that presentation on KUOW, and it was a little too kismet because not more than like a week before, I had posted that I really wanted a robots class for Seattle Free School, that I wanted somebody to design or to teach a class on like build a cheap Roomba, which is my, you know, ridiculous end goal. Something that'll team, or Rosie, you know, from the Jetsons, that would be great. I would take that too. But just having those types of classes, we've had people who want to teach math and stuff like that, and it's always kind of difficult figuring out how to do it. And so sometimes the kind of the DIY stuff lends itself to teaching for people who aren't necessarily having a full-on educational experience over months and months and whatever, than some of the traditional topics do. But we've got a lot of really cool topics at Seattle Free School. We've had things like improv, ego development. Like I said, we're really open to just about anything anybody wants to teach. So if you guys are interested in doing that, it's really quite easy.
They're also cookies.
They're also, yeah. maybe that's how we get people to teach robot classes. Offer cookies.
He's also known as mine.
glad you got them while you could.
We only have 10 more boxes at home, so don't hoard them.
So anyway, that's part of the goal of being here, is to see if you guys are interested in doing something like that, partnering together, hopefully bringing awareness to both of our organizations from the different groups kind of coming together. That's part of the reason that we actually don't take money, besides the fact that I don't want to have to deal with it, which is the primary reason. I did really realize kind of early in the game that if we were to do that whole traditional thing for us, it would have meant that I would have had to spend a lot of time trying to raise funds, and that wasn't where I wanted to spend my energy. But more importantly, it's really fun working with other nonprofits and other groups, using their space, because we can bring a lot of awareness and just cut out the middleman. At one of my classes, I had a woman who was like, I want to give money really, really bad. And I was just like, it was just so much fun. This is the best thing I've ever said in my life. I'm like, you can't! I can't tell you how fulfilling that was to just be like, nope! It says no to money. You know, but it was great fun. And then I was able to say, but you know, we're in, at that time we were at Cascade People Center. I'm like, we're in Cascade People Center. They have a huge fundraising campaign going on right now because they're about ready to lose the space. If we lose the space, you know, if they lose their space, we lose our space here. Yeah. So if you really feel like you need to give money, just give it to them. And so that was really fun and empowering to be able to say, don't give it to me and have me have to deal with taxes and everything else. Just give it to the people who make us possible by being here, you know, or the library, or, you know, whoever is helping us out by having spaces. So that's part of the other reason that we like to do it, because it brings awareness to those groups and brings awareness to us from those people. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you guys have any questions? Yes.
I'd like to learn math. I'd like to teach math.
You'd like to teach math? Okay. Great. You figure out when you want to do it, and you can do it.
Fractions with Sakura.
Fractions?
She's always excited about fractions.
About fractions?
Awesome. My questions are more on the order of, like, what does it take to run a preschool class? And,
so we usually have a facilitator's class, but I can give you a lot of that information right here. And the main reason that we did that is we kept trying to go back and forth via email, and there's all these little fine points that just somehow don't work that way. I actually prefer email for communication, but eventually we decided this is ridiculous. This isn't working. Having one-on-one conversations, or, you know, a few people conversations just work better. So. As far as spaces go, we have, like I said, we use the Seattle Public Library a lot. Obviously, if you guys have access to space here, that can be used. It doesn't matter. Anybody that has access to space, they can use. We don't tend to use people's houses, although I actually have used my house. I taught a basic auto repair class, how to do your brakes, and it was in my carport. So, and then we, like, pirated a space once that was in the parking lot.
What are you guys doing? We're teaching a class.
Yeah, we're doing nothing. There just happens to be 10 people here with the hoods of their cars open. You know,
what?
Weird flash mob. But anyway, so the Seattle Public Library is one of the weird things about them is you can only have class in their space, one at that particular location once a month, so we kind of work that out. There's actually a spreadsheet that's available online just so people don't overlap. Cascade People Center, there's a key situation, so I have to give people keys, but we have access to them 24 hours a day. So that works pretty well. If you wanted to have a night class, you could. The Cascade People Center. If you're not familiar with it, you might be. There's a big community garden right down by the flagship REI store.
Okay.
And if you've ever seen that, Cascade People Center is essentially in the center, well, basically in the center of it. So it's right there. So I didn't even know where it was until I was like, oh, it's right there by the peat patch. So those are the primary places that we use. We spent a lot of time in the beginning trying to find spaces before we had anything to put there, and then we realized that was dumb. doing a lot of work for no good reason, but it seemed like a good idea. Just wasn't a good use of time, so we eventually stopped doing that. So we're always open for more spaces, but as people actually need to use those spaces rather than us trying to find places that we don't need. The only real thing that it takes to be a Seattle Free School class is we like people to say, hey, this is a Seattle Free School class. You'd be surprised how many people don't know. Where am I? I don't know. So tell them a little bit about Seattle Free School. It's a free information exchange. We like to encourage other people to teach and share their skills. One of the things I always tell people is that you don't have to be a professional to teach at Seattle Free School, especially those of you, because some of you are in the geeky world and you know, although, you know, who knows, a lot of times when people are serious experts, their ability to tell people who have no clue whatsoever what they're talking about can be really bad. And a lot of times, the person who has just learned how to do something, is really passionate about it, is sort of like, I messed up a lot, and I can tell you all about that. And you don't have to be able to answer everybody's question, because it's a free class, and nobody expects you to be an expert. They just want to know, you know, like when I teach soap making, it's like you said, hey, you know, you made soap before, you teach me how to do it. Yeah, sure. Doesn't mean that I'm professional, doesn't mean that I know how to do it, you know, in every way possible. But I know enough to be able to tell you how to do it. And so that's, we encourage people to share their skills, because everybody's got something that they know how to do. And then the other thing is we like to tell people that we don't take cash donations, because that encourages people to want to share their skills or hang flyers or whatever it happens to be that they want to give back. A lot of what we've really found is that by not taking money from people, they really actually are very enthusiastic about sharing. I have people showing up at the facilitator's class all the time. We're like, I don't even know what I want to teach, but I just want to give back. I'm like, sweet, we'll figure something out. You've got some kind of skill, I guarantee it. So basically, there's like a short introduction that says that stuff. So free school. We don't take cash donations, please teach if you want to. And then you have your class, and it's really up to you what you want to do with it. We've had a lot of people, we've had some cooking school teachers who are really excited, because when they do normal cooking schools with other groups, the other groups are very much dictating what they do. Like, you need to do an appetizer, you need to do a dinner, you need to do dessert. I'm like, you do whatever you want. You want to do, you know, some weird Russian cooking thing that takes 3 hours? Great. You know, I don't care, do whatever you want. So that's what we really encourage people to do. Is, and if that's what you love to do and that's what you want to share, then that's going to be awesome class, because that's what you're passionate about. So hopefully that tells you a little bit about investing.
What sort of, how often do classes happen, and what time of day do they usually happen?
As far as how often they happen, it's really just dependent on when people say, oh yeah, I'm gonna teach a class. Right. A long time ago I realized that without, you know, any money I can't make people teach. Yeah. So we always have lulls, you know, during the holidays or whatever, which is expected, and that's totally fine. As far as times of days, we've primarily had classes at night. But that's just because the people that are doing them right now are people who work during the day.
Yeah.
I've started doing classes. There's a new nonprofit coffee shop that's really cool, right by my work, the one that we were at, the Street Bean Espresso. And they've got a meeting room there, and I've been having classes during my lunch break. So there are people who will totally show up. I've filled up those classes during the day. It's just that I can't teach normally during the day, and I tend not to want to teach on holidays, because I'm sure people. But yeah, it really doesn't matter. I mean, we're really open to having classes whenever. The only thing that I ever tell anybody is, like, you know, if you're wanting to have a class downtown, try to stay out of rush hour traffic times and stuff like that. Just, you know, keep in mind whatever transportation, whether it be bus or bike, or people are just not going to want to be around a certain area at a certain period of time. Capitol Hill, Friday night, maybe not so much. So yeah, but really open to whatever anybody wants to do as far as times go. We have people who come to just about any class that they can. So.
Okay.
What do you get in terms of?
Really can vary. We've had in the beginning, and this is the thing that I found which has been pretty funny, is like a lot of times when you first offer a class, you get a smaller group than you would if you keep offering it. Oddly, if you keep offering it over and over again, you'd think that you taught everybody, but you get bigger and bigger groups because it, you know, just spreads. That's how that works. The smallest class I've ever taught is just a couple people. Sometimes we have limits, like the carport class. You know, the class I taught, my carport was limited to 5 people because that was all that could close to fitting in my carport. along with me actually working on a vehicle. The biggest class that I've ever had was 125 people, and that was maxing out the space massively.
What's the class?
Cheese making class. So yeah, it was a little overkill. I probably won't let classes. I was just really excited. So, this is the biggest class ever. Everybody that was there was really excited because they were like, we're part of the biggest class ever. But, you know, the amount of learning that happened for the person that's like standing in the back up against the wall is probably pretty small. So I probably won't do that again.
Was that one that you had repeated over and over?
That one I've taught so many times. It's not even funny. I've probably taught that class, that was probably the 10th time, I don't even know. But yeah, a huge amount of times I've taught that specific class before. So, that's what's so weird. You know, I keep teaching people how to keep chickens in the city, and I keep thinking I've probably taught everybody that's ever wanted to keep a chicken in the city, and I haven't. People keep showing up. And it's amazing. It's amazing to kind of pick them.
Slightly. It's related to. I once was unemployed and I put in ads in the paper for helping people with their computers.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 3 weeks, I got hardly anything. I got one or two jobs. But like the fourth week, it went up to like 5 calls. And then the sixth week, it went to 10.
Yeah.
And it wasn't word of mouth because these people I talked to them, they didn't know each other. So I think just something about seeing something reliably causes something. I don't know.
Well, and I think too, what has happened, and maybe this is what happened to you, somebody saw it and they said, oh, I just don't have time, I'm going to call next week, and then they finally get to that point where they're like, I have to call now. And in this case, you know, it's like people will be like, oh, I really want to go to this class, oh, I can't. Or I really want to go to this class, I can't.
Yeah.
And then at some point you had this weird, you hit the perfect day, you know, the perfect storm of class time, and people all show up. In this case, it was that there were a couple of groups that bombed onto class and spread it out amongst their groups, and that's where we wound up doing that. So, but actually, the crazy part about it is that most of the classes that I've been teaching lately are full of people who haven't been to a Seattle Free School class ever before. Most of the people that showed up to that 125 people, I'd say about 25 of them had ever been to a Seattle Free School class before. So it's all brand new people, which is amazing. So.
Well, I'd like to officially offer Jigsaw as a space for free school.
Cool.
One of the people holding the key, which is the stuff on the board, will have to be here to let you and the people
mm-hmm.
in while we're in this space. We're hoping that in our next space we just get key cards, which are active during
right.
the time that you would be there. but we'll work on that. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, just be in touch and let me know when to schedule.
Yeah, I think the best thing that I would like to see would be if somebody from Jigsaw would want to teach a class. That would be awesome, just because it's sort of your guys' space to begin with.
Yeah, I'll give my notebook class like 3 months in a
row. Sweet. Yeah, I mean, that would just be a good way to start to get people into the space and get used to what's going on here and get people familiar. Cool. Very cool. Yeah. It's, like I said, it's very easy. One of the possibly weird things is we essentially can't provide any handouts or things like that, although we can sometimes come up with that kind of stuff if it's very, very necessary. So,
but
yeah.
We're not allowed to give handouts.
Oh, no, you are allowed to give
Hello.
Handouts. It's just
Hello.
That we can't
How are you
print
doing?
Them. We might be able to print them for you if
it
you
is.
Got much
oh,
to
no, no,
Yeah, as long as you can do that, then that's great. If you can't, then figure something out. Yes. So, no, you're definitely allowed to give handouts. We've had people ask in the past, people who have businesses or something like that, you know, can I give a handout about my business? Can I get my business card? And what our policy has always been on that is that this isn't a way to sell your business. So what we've told people, we've had people that have actually had classes that they were going to sell later as part of their business, kind of come and present them as a Seattle Free School class to go work through the bits of it, which is totally fine because we
yeah.
did a free class. But what we've always told people is, you know, you're not the only resource for whatever it is that you're teaching. You know, so
yeah.
if you're teaching how to keep chickens in the city, for example, and I'm going to teach some other, like, advanced chicken keeping class, I'm not the only chicken resource. Where are the other resources? So you could list yourself. You should list yourself. You're a resource. You're somebody that they can come back to, or if they decide they want to go further, if they want to be an even more awesome soap maker or whatever. You would be a resource for that, but you're not the only one, so list everybody else too, or, you know, list the ones that are good that you like as well. And we totally, I've had people ask me, you know, can I reference this book? Can I reference that? And of course you can. You know, if there's like a book that you shouldn't buy, most of my classes are all about don't buy this book because it stinks. oddly, I really love books, but some of the books on the topics that I teach are really bad. Or this book is, for my beekeeping class, there's one, it's like a beekeeping for dummies. It's actually probably the best book out there. It doesn't go too heavily into kind of the weird stuff that nobody's going to do. It's what the homeowner needs to know to keep bees. And beekeepers never agree on anything, but almost all the way across the board, they agree that this is an awesome book. So I always am like, you know, if you're going to keep bees, new site tune, you're going to probably want to buy a book so that you have some reference when you start spazzing out. This is the one to buy. So, you know, I don't get any money from selling this book, but it's just the truth. And I would tell you that, it's kind of the idea, I would tell you that if you were my friend and you just came over to my house. I would say, you're going to want to get this. So that's the litmus test of, you know, what's acceptable and what isn't. If you wouldn't do it to your friend, don't do it to your friend's school. So, yeah. Do you guys have any more questions?
I'm good.
Does what you told us right now count as an instructor training?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, if you had any other questions, you could definitely ask them. If you're going to schedule your own space here, all I need to know from you is look at the website, essentially. You know, figure out what each class has on it. That's what I need from you. You can just email me the description of when it is. It's always really good, although you've got a following here, so you'll know you're following here more than I do. We love having about a month before your classes to really get a chance to promote people and spread the word. Just 2 weeks is really short, and we don't send out emails that often. We're going to get a little bit better on that. We have been, we still don't want to send out emails, you know, like every week or whatever. So given time to actually get people interested. The other thing that we always tell people is if the first one doesn't go over, don't let that not, you know, keep you from doing it again. Because like, for example, one class was on Super Bowl Sunday. I taught the class on Super Bowl Sunday. I had no idea it was Super Bowl Sunday. It was Super Bowl Sunday, and I was okay with that because it was the first time I'd ever taught that class, so I was really glad when half the people didn't show up. Perfect. Because a lot of people have registered. So, but if, you know, if it doesn't go over well, you might have just picked a really bad night for all the people that are interested in that. So don't let that discourage you. Try it again. We almost always automatically set up a registration list because it's just a Google Doc that I literally press a button on the page that the website was designed and it immediately creates that document. And I share it with you if I forget, you'll let me, I will. So you have access to all of your students. And it's just easier than not, you know, at this point, because that way you know for sure that somebody's going to show up. If you have a small class attendance, you can always email people and say, hey, are you going to be there? Or remind them. I always suggest reminding them, unless, like, this particular class on Super Bowl, I didn't really care if, you know, a quarter of the people were all that showed up. I was fine with that. But that way, if you do have a smaller class, you can say, oh, you know, people are going to cancel, maybe I don't want to do it, that's fine too. You know, one person's going to come, you're going to forget it, it's fine. So you get a really good feel of having registration. So, like I said, I'll share that document with you after you send me the information and I've posted it. I'll post it on the website, I'll tweet about it, I'll do that kind of stuff. We have something that posts it out in other places. Obviously, you would probably want to contact or whoever's in charge of posting out from your group.
Mostly people just do that on their own group. They just put it on the calendar.
There you go.
Like, oh, hey, there's a thing that day.
And what I always suggest too is to please proofread what I wrote, because every once in a while, for a while our website was messed up with daylight savings time, and I'd have to remember to put in the time an hour earlier than it really was. and so sometimes I didn't catch that, but I needed to go back and change it or whatever. So definitely feel free to proofread that I got the right date and that kind of stuff. So by mid-year, I probably won't catch it. So yeah, it's really just that easy.
I love that.
Oh.
cookies.
No, the cookies are very rare. Only get it once in a while.
So, Sakura made a drawing as a surprise for all of us of a fairy. Do you want to tell about your fairy?
Every house around
okay.
Is
the fairy teaching fractions?
Yes.
Yes.
Very, very good.
Yes.
I have one concern.
Yes.
Which is that our space is kind of hard to reach.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's a perennial concern.
It's like, I don't want to discourage you. I love this space. I want this to work, but I want to hear what you have to say about it.
So there would be a couple different options. You could draw a map. Google is now allowing you to penny. Want to hate Google, I really do, but sometimes they make my life really easy. So you could draw a map and like upload it or put out your information, or when you, before the class, when you email the students to remind them, give them really good directions, maybe give out your cell phone if you feel comfortable with it, say you can call me. Please plan on being, you know, you list the class earlier than you really expected to start.
And we're also actively looking for spaces that are more accessible.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I would say that there's definitely not a problem with that. It would just take a little bit more on your part of making sure people knew how to get there. But I wouldn't probably want to put that out in the class description necessarily, just because... Well, it, not even so much that, but it's just like it would be too confusing for people to pay attention to. So,
banana chair.
That song.
Sound like banana phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying not to.
When you got it, I say.
She loved it.
I like how this is on craft paper too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captures the full map experience.
And she has the moon face. Whoa. The moon. Oh, okay.
Cool. Well, she does fractions, so.
All right.
We do have a map online.
Awesome. Yeah, so I mean, you could even just send them to that idea. And have the students. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt probably to give them contact information if you felt comfortable doing
that. What is the email address that she should give to people who want to give class and don't have a space on these Jigsaw?
You can do hello at Jigsaw, or you can just send to Willow at Jigsaw.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you. I think everybody has been able to fully appreciate your drawing. Where should I put it?
I like it to put the person where I can start on a song.
Okay, we shall hang it on the wall. Mm-hmm.